if I want a lawyer.
Yeah, I should do. I don't want that. You ready to face the music?
Yeah. I don't want no lawyer.
Well, this seems to me...
guilty, whatever they do, that's up to them.
It seems to me, then, that you feel sorry for what you did.
Well, not too bad.
You don't feel too bad?
Oh, yeah, I feel sorry, but I mean, I don't know yet. Maybe I'll come later.
What sort of a person was your wife?
Oh, she was a nice girl. A little crabby. Fighting. The usual. We just didn't get along, that's all.
Another killer who made a dramatic news item on a KDKA newscast was Mickey Shervinek. 10 years old. Mickey had killed his father, but a coroner's jury exonerated him by labeling it justifiable homicide. The verdict came in just a moment before I talked to Pittsburgh's youngest killer.
Mickey, on the night you shot your father, I wonder if you could tell me what happened. Why did you go upstairs to get that shotgun?
Well, I didn't exactly go upstairs to get the shotgun because on my way upstairs, I was thinking of some way to try to stop him but not kill him. And then when I came out of my room, I seen the gun and I hesitated for a minute. Don't worry.
You said you wanted to stop him. What did you want to stop, Mickey?
I wanted to stop him from these cruel beatings of my mother. I didn't care about me, but when I seen him take my mother, I had to try to stop him.
Did he beat you too, Mickey?
Yes, sir.
Why did he beat you?
Because my shoes were near the couch and he was supposed to be under the bed. And then he started getting mad about that.
How did he beat you, Mickey?
Well, first he took his belt out and...
He hit you across the back with the belt?
Yes, sir.
Has your father beaten you before, Mickey?
Yes, sir.
Well, now that you have shot and killed your father, Mickey, how do you feel about it?
I didn't realize what I did.
Are you sorry about what happened?
Yes, sir. I didn't mean to kill.
Another case of justifiable homicide in Pittsburgh involved City Detective John Diven, the policeman who trapped and killed the city's most wanted criminal.
We was coming down Anderson Street when I spotted McCon walking along the street. Well, I jumped out of the car and he spotted me and I chased him about 8 blocks. And then he tried to run me down with his car and he's reaching for his gun and I let him have it.
Well, where was he when you first saw him on the street?
It was on Robinson and Anderson.
And you chased him about 6 blocks then?
About 8 blocks. I fired 2 shots at him down the street. I waited until I got a good background. I wouldn't hit anybody else, you know. I saw a lot in the building there, and I took 1 shot there, and then around the building I saw another empty spot where I could take a shot at him, and I did. But I was running, and I couldn't hit him, you know. You can't hit anybody when you're running. And then I caught him here when he was pulling out of his car, and I told him to stop, had the gun on him, but instead he reached down to the floor for his gun, and he came at me with a car. As you can see, the track marks there, he was really barreling it, and I just jumped out of the way and fired a shot, and he said, did you hit me in the heart, Diven? And I said, that's tough.
Well, you know this fellow McCon. What sort of a man was he?
Well, we got a report that today he wasn't going to be taken alive, he was going to shoot to kill. And it just looked like that was it. It's either going to be him or I, and I didn't want it to be me.
Mrs. Alice Kirsch was the central figure in another interesting story in Pittsburgh. Her husband had gone berserk and was captured by a dozen police after he had literally and figuratively smashed his home and his marriage. There was still a strong odor of police tear gas in the kitchen of the Kirsch apartment when I talked to Mrs. Kirsch.
He just tried to kill me. He wanted to kill me. He said, I've got to kill you. I've got to see blood. I've got to kill. That's all I know. I don't know. I got away.
How did he want to kill you?
He told me. That's how.
How did you get that scratch in your hand, Alice?
That's cut with a knife. He had a knife there. I don't know where the knife went to. I don't know how I even got away. I just got out of there. That's all.
The bruise on your face. What happened? Was he fighting with you?
He's trying to kill me. That's all. He wanted to kill me. He said, he has to kill me.
This has happened before, hasn't it?
Yeah, but the man's not right in the head, you know, and I feel sorry for him. I can't help it, I just do.
On one of the many fires covered by KDKA News, a city fireman was killed just as the mobile news unit pulled up in front of the burning building. Deputy Fire Chief Buck Martin was one of the lucky firemen who escaped.
Well, we had this line in there, and these two men was on the end of the line, and I'm on a little platform standing right beside them.
That little platform was at the head of the alley.
It was at the head of the alley right beside these men. Whenever I heard the rumble on the third floor, I filled my light up on the walls, and I seen the walls falling, and I hollered for them to run, and they started to run, and Captain Kilhane tripped over his line and fell. And after he fell, the walls hit him. I stood there and watched the walls falling on him. And I hurried up and hollered for men to come in, enough men to come in and take the bricks off him. By the time we got him and got him out of there, we apparently thought he was dead, which we sent him to hospital, and they pronounced him dead.
The KDKA newscasts don't always have an interview with the principal participant to carry the sound of the news. Sometimes the sound itself serves as a background for the newscast. That's the sound of young students from Holy Rosary School here in Pittsburgh. They're saying their Hail Marys in Holy Rosary Church while firemen are fighting a general alarm blaze, a fire which almost completely destroyed the children's school next door. And frequently a routine telephone call to police headquarters, we make dozens of those calls each day, turns up an interesting story. Here's police operator John Cassidy telling about what he considered an unusual complaint.
This woman called in, you know, and she says, look, she says, my husband won't take a bath. She says, I don't know what to do with him. She says, I've beat him, she says, and I don't want to kill him. And she says, I've put creoline on him, and I've done everything. I've talked to the neighbors, I've talked to everybody, I've tried to get him to take a bath, and she said he stinks like a polecat. And she says, I'm not able to do anything with him. I wonder if you can help me. So with that, I told her, I said, geez, lady, I said, about the only thing I could suggest, I said, get about four or five guys and hold them in the bathtub and give them a good scrubbing. And squirt them off like an automobile. Oh, it was the funniest thing I've had in 20 years.
And that's the sound of news as it breaks here in Pittsburgh and broadcast on KDKA Radio News. This is Mike Levine.